the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. Mayor Josh Morgan gave his last State of the City address for this term earlier this week. And after not having too many major announcements last year, this year he announced a new factory will be opening and a new housing program. Today, I'm talking with London Free Press City Hall reporter Jack Moulton to get all the details on the mayor's State of the City address. Hey, Jack, how are you?
I'm good, Rachel. Good to be back.
Yeah. Well, you've had a busy week. I know you had an early morning at the State of the City address earlier this week. So let's talk about the new jobs that are coming to London, this new factory that's opening up. It's called MPAC Spray Tech Inc. It's a bit of a mouthful. So what do they do? What is MPAC?
Yeah, so they're a Brampton-based business that recently bought about 15 acres of land in Innovation Park here in London. They're going to be opening, apparently, a 200,000 square foot facility. They're an aerosol manufacturer. So think of like cleaning products or like fuels, like the mechanism behind those things.
Okay. So,
and that will apparently be bringing at least 50 jobs to start. But as the factory ramps up, they're planning somewhere between 150 and 200 jobs. So nothing to sneeze at for sure. And a bit of a return to form for the State of the City that I know back in yesteryear, including before my time at the Free Press, the big focus used to be like a big jobs announcement. Mm-hmm. Now it's a bit more of like a policy announcement. And there was a little bit of both this year.
Yeah. I want to get into kind of comparing this year and last year's State of the City and then years past as well. But let's talk about Spray Tech a little bit more. Why did they choose London? Did he say why London was the best choice for them?
We didn't get the full sense, but in a scrum with reporters after the speech yesterday, Josh talked about the fact that London has seen a lot of similar players come to the city. I mean, the big one that has been talked about quite a lot, especially since there was a groundbreaking or an opening of some kind recently with Andreotti Pasta, which that was their first facility in North America, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. That was a $33 million plant. Not to mention others like Natra Chocolate. Dr. Etker is adding more people too.
Right.
Givens Engineering, Skyreach Group. So there's been a lot of growth in London's industrial sector. And, you know, seemingly they wanted a piece of that.
We're in a good spot. Like, we're right on the highway and we've got a lot of that industrial land kind of southeast right on the highway. So, you know, it seems ideal for a lot of businesses.
Exactly. Not only location and access to the 401, to the 402 and 403 as well, which can really get you in a multitude of places fast. But also one thing that both politicians and economic development folks talk about is the labor pool here. There's a lot of manufacturing jobs. So you get your pick of the litter when it comes to expertise, in both like manufacturing, but also like agri-food and things of that nature.
Okay, interesting. He made another announcement as well about affordable home ownership. Now, this is not affordable housing, am I right? That's a bit different, but this is affordable home ownership. So what is the announcement? What was that all about?
You're correct, Rachel. So what the mayor's proposing, he issued a strong mayor order through those provincial powers earlier this week to have staff explore a program that would see City Hall basically eat a portion of the development charges on new builds of housing. So those development charges, you may be familiar, those are the fees that developers pay when they're building new housing in order to sort of compensate the city for, you know, the water and sewer connections, you know, the roads or side streets that may connect to this housing, things of that nature. Especially in this environment of a housing crisis and, you know, everyone looking for something to change in order to spur more housing, development charges come up a lot because it's a big addition to the price tag of construction and, you know, then passed on to the consumer. These development charges can be tens of thousands of dollars. It's not nothing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's also really necessary for the city in order to expand its infrastructure. But in order to kind of bridge the gap there, Mayor Josh Morgan is proposing, it still needs council approval, and it's going to them, at least committee next week, a program that would see City Hall cover 60% of the development charge tab using federal funding, the Housing Accelerator Fund money
Okay.
that London was awarded a couple of years ago, and would see the builder pick up the rest, the remaining 40%, with the commitment that the entire development charge is removed from the price tag of the final product.
Interesting. Okay. That'll be a huge savings for people looking to buy new homes.
It can be, yeah. I mean, I should also mention this would only apply to new builds of any kind, condos, townhomes, probably not single family homes, because as I've discussed with Jared Zafman of the Home Builders Association, it's hard to get single family homes under 800 grand because of the cost of construction. But this would only apply to homes that are at or below the average sale value in London as of last year, 2025, which according to the Canadian Real Estate Association was about $630,000.
Okay.
So this program would only apply to houses under or at that mark. And in conversation with Mr. Zaitman, he mentioned that the development charges for, anywhere from condos, townhomes, semi-detached, those can range from anywhere from like $20,000 to $50,000.
Wow.
Yeah, which is pretty
What
significant.
a huge savings for somebody looking to, I mean, that's going to really help a lot of people who are looking to just get into the housing market at all.
Yeah, and that's where the maybe not the difficulty, but the challenge lies is this would only be on new builds, right? First-time home buyers, by and large, are not really buying brand new houses. But what Mr. Zapin has told me is that it could encourage some movement in the resale market. Maybe people sell their existing home to move into a new home. There's movement throughout the housing spectrum.
Sure. If you're downsizing and you want a smaller home and it's in that price range, yeah, that could really benefit you.
Absolutely, yeah. And he mentioned how and this is still ongoing. Viewers may be familiar with the GST rebate on first time home purchases that the federal and provincial governments are talking about. There's been critiques for the same reason. Not many first time home buyers are buying new. There's a little impact, but maybe not as substantial as people want. But this city program paired with that could save people like on the high end, like $130,000, they've been said, somewhere from 50 to that mark.
Best case, yeah, best case scenario.
Yeah, so those programs
It's
compare
amazing.
together very well.
Yeah. You talked about some of the other businesses that opened in 2025, some that were expanding. Some of those were announced in last year's State of the City address. So let's kind of compare this year's and last year's, because there was a time several years ago, or maybe more, where the State of the City address was a major, we were expecting big announcements, each time, and they would save it for that time, and that this was like a big launch for those things. But that's not happening as much anymore. We're not getting those big major announcements. We're getting announcements, but they're maybe not as big as they used to be.
Yeah, it was an interesting dynamic this year because I would argue this homeowners program, if it goes ahead, would be pretty significant,
Sure,
at
yeah.
least in terms of how the city is involved in this program. This is, the city getting kind of involved in housing. That's usually a bit more federal provincial. So, depending on how you look at it, this could be pretty significant. But I point taken. Thinking back to last year and our conversation back then, in comparison, it was sort of a scattershot of maybe smaller announcements as opposed to like two big ones this year. The major one last year was the commitment from the mayor to bring the tax hike for his last budget of the term down below 5%. He did do that. In the end, we got to 3.4%. But also tiny homes for veterans at Parkwood Institute, a couple of different economic development related announcements as well. It was interesting this year, and it sort of speaks to the changing dynamic and maybe in part the election year that we're in now. This year, Josh made note of it while he was speaking. He didn't have a teleprompter or like an in-depth speech that he was reading from. He quite literally had a few bullet point notes of stuff he had to touch on, but he sort of did a TED Talk style speech where he was pacing the stage and kind of just talking about any and everything. You know, it's been pointed out it was a reflection on his term a little bit. I think one of the quotes that he uttered, and I believe I had it in our live file while we were writing that, was "Today is Accountability Day." Where he was talking about the term and the progress and challenges ahead. You know, he was tackling common critiques about how high tax hikes have been under his mayoralty, at least the first half, and also things like the police budget. Talking about some of the positive statistics coming out of them now, how response times are coming down a little bit, how certain statistics, traffic enforcement is up a little bit, certain types of reports of crime are down, and yeah, on the tax hikes, talking about how the city has saved a few $100 million through like its own internal service review, trying to trim things where they can. Paying a lot of money into the city's debt and things of that nature.
That's starting to sound a little more like a campaign speech.
You're
And we
very
know,
astute, Rachel.
yes, well, we know that we do have an election. Municipal elections are end of October of this year, and Mayor Morgan is seeking re-election, right?
He is. He confirmed that with us a few months ago. He will be the first London mayor to seek re-election in over a decade. And
That's
yeah.
interesting. I hadn't thought about that actually, but you're right. We've had a lot of one-term mayors.
Yeah, beset by controversy or not. Joe Fontana, Matt Brown, Ed Holder. But now Josh is the first mayor since Anne-Marie DeCicco Best to seek re-election before she was toppled by Joe Fontana in 2010. And yeah, so we were kind of expecting going into this that this would be a bit of a soft campaign launch. You know, legally, people can't really start campaigning until May when the nominations open, but it's hard not to see, reflecting on your term and addressing your biggest critiques as maybe a bit of campaigning. And in response to that, in a scrum us reporters had with Josh after the speech, we said, like, this sounded a little bit like campaigning. And he said, no, it was an honest assessment of his campaign promises from the last election. And just checking in on what he was able to follow through with. And he frankly admitted that he couldn't follow through with everything. The big example is the neighborhood decision-making program. Londoners may be familiar with that, where they could submit ideas for neighborhood improvements to their parks, to their streets, for events, stuff like that. Council kiboshed the neighborhood decision-making program, something Josh committed to in the last election for doubling the budget of. So that was one example of, something he quite frankly couldn't follow through with. But he says he respects the will of council. But yeah, overall, maybe a bit of semantics. He argued he wasn't campaigning. He was just assessing his own term.
Do we know if there's any challengers to Josh for the mayor position yet?
At this stage, not really.
It's very early, but maybe there's rumors.
It is early. We're less than a year out from the election now, but that's still a long time, especially with the nominations not opening until May for someone to come out. And I'm sure there will be challengers. Whether there's a significant one that could topple him, it's not looking like it at this stage. I know I personally have not heard much or seen much, and I know other political pundits in the city, it's crickets out there right now. So it's Josh's race to lose at this point.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What about the rest of council? Have we heard from any councillors who might be running again or not running again? Those who are for sure not going to be there next term.
Yeah, so in a bit of an update on the last conversation we had about this, the still only confirmed name that is not running again is Councillor Steve Hillier, and I'm still working on chatting with him a little bit more about that. He initially declined comment on a story I was doing on who was running, but it had since let it slip on social media he wasn't running again. Besides Councillor Hillier, I haven't heard from two councillors. That's Anna Hopkins of Ward 9 and Jerry Pribble of Ward 5. They're still, deciding on whether or not they'd like to run again. But beyond that, beyond those three, everyone is planning to run again. The only caveats being, and I believe we've discussed this before, Councillor Corinne Rahman is planning to run in a new Ward 5 under the new ward boundaries, as opposed to the current Ward 7 that she represents. So we so far are looking at potentially a new name in Ward 7. And we'll see where Councillor Pribble decides to run if he wants to contest Ward 5 again. And Councillor Stevenson, Susan Stevenson, who represents Ward 4 right now, told me she plans to run again, but not sure where yet. She hasn't decided because she was one of the councillors who, and it was reported in our survey ahead of last election that, if I'm not mistaken, she lives across the street from Ward 4 in Ward 13, technically. And now Old East Village, which is Ward 4 right now, is being swallowed up by Ward 1, where Councillor Hadley McAllister is planning to run again as the Ward 1 councillor.
So the boundary changes may mix up a little bit, mix up some of the counselors.
Exactly, yeah. And it does present the possibility that incumbents could run against each other. Depending on the demographics of the neighborhood, I would argue that probably isn't likely, given that some neighborhoods can lean one way or another politically, left wing or right wing, and there's a healthy mix of that on this council, progressives and conservatives. So technically a possibility. Whether we'll see that remains to be seen.
We have a lot of information considering it's early days. So thank you. We'll see what shakes out. I know there could be lots of changes between now and October, and I'm sure we'll talk to you a lot about that as we lead up to the municipal election. We can check out Jack's stories at lfpress.com if you want to hear more about the State of the City address. There's a few stories about that and more details on what Mayor Morgan was talking about. But thank you very much, Jack, for being with us today.
Thank you, Rachel. Viewers might get sick of me in the coming months of how much they might see me.
It's election season. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.